But first, Friday brought news of the birth control mandate rollback, but federal officials have been cutting provisions and budgets for the ACA, Affordable Care Act, for some time. For instance, the time given to enroll in the program has been cut in half, the budget advertising the ACA has been slashed up to 90% in some states, and cuts to Navigator grants, money spent on in-person enrollment help, has also been cut. The question now becomes, are these cuts part of an overarching strategy to kill the ACA bill slowly over time? With us for a few minutes to talk about that is James Hodge of ASU Center for Public Health Law and Policy. James, good morning.
Steve, good morning. Always a pleasure.
So, rolling back the contraception mandate, some will say it's a win for religious freedom. To what extent does it weaken the overall ACA, though?
Yeah, this is the type of trend that we just don't want to see in relation to the type of uniform benefits that have been provided nationally being weakened by specific arguments for what should and should not be covered, notwithstanding really strong evidence of the value of covering these types of benefits across the country.
To what extent does this feel like a long-term strategy to you? And to what extent does it feel more political? And is one more troubling than the other?
Both are troubling, Steve. It's a great point. It is a long-term strategy. It was announced by President Trump from the very moment he entered office, issuing a statement to HHS or the Department of Health and Human Services to do everything possible within the limits of the law to withhold specific benefits and or specific coverage. The long-term trend of this is against a backdrop of a systematic series of cuts like what you're seeing presently in regards to birth control and will continue, is that the attempt to gut the Affordable Care Act against a backdrop of failing to repeal it could have serious and damaging consequences to global or to national health.
This is sort of a loaded question, James, but what are the biggest concerns about that? Because there will be some who will say, well, this is a way for politicians to play a game and at some point come to the table on some sort of compromise. But before we get to a compromise, are a lot of people bound to be in a lot of trouble because of this?
Oh, yeah. There's no question. This is the type of effort that, when non-predictable through democratic processes involving Congress and otherwise, you have the potential for persons who feel they're covered one day to be uncovered the next day. And that sort of consequence, Steve, doesn't allow for people to predict in relation to what healthcare services they may proceed with, what and how they may budget for that down the road. When you take something as comprehensive as the Affordable Care Act and you cut and slice at it through various different maneuvers, which can't be predicted based on any democratic processes, you then render persons really at risk of where and how these cuts will hurt them most dramatically. Obviously, we have a political process in place to prevent that down the road through new elections, but in this type of strategy, you really do see impacts that can be damaging solely because of the lack of predictability. Insurance companies are not going to stand for it much longer.
And we know that states and their leaders have different philosophies, James. So what about, again, if the concept were put together in a way where people could benefit from them and healthcare wouldn't suffer, does the concept of a block grant from the feds make any sense to you at all?
There are opportunities, Steve, where block grants can make great sense. Some states have been tremendous ambassadors for how they use block grants to accomplish larger health and public health goals. We've had great, you know, evidence of that in the country. But if you turn over an entire Medicaid program to block grants, as we've seen in some of the repeal and replace strategies, you really are rendering just a grand experiment in what and how much billions of dollars can be allocated in very different ways without national oversight to the full degree we're looking for. You know, the Affordable Care Act was done and implemented in a way to try to equate greater health benefits across the country. Block granting out Medicaid and other provisions like this only will render the losers and the winners more clearly.
So, James, what are you looking for next as we're watching this? Are you watching how closely this may come to imploding ACA? Or are you looking for some hopeful signs?
Yeah, that's a great point, Steve. I think where we stand in relation to Congress and its consistent failures to do and to make amends in regards to its repeal and replace strategies, I think you're going to see an administration that is almost bent on imploding the Affordable Care Act, proving that it can't work against a backdrop of failing to implement it. Now, that's really not proof positive at all, but it will lead to specific reforms that Congress has to then undertake against that backdrop. It's not a rosy outlook, and it's not something that, from a strategic point of view, makes a lot of sense from the White House on down. And yet, I think we have to predict this going into the fall.
James Hodge is director of the Center for Public Health Law and Policy at ASU. James, nice to talk with you as always. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.